KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Dr. Danny Huerta joins us. He's focused on the family's vice president of parenting and youth. Dr. Danny, thanks for taking the time.
Steve, thanks for having me on the show. Good to be with you, man.
You know, recently we visited with Dr. Joni DeBrito about, you know, going back, the transition, getting back to school and kind of walked through, you know, preschool all the way through, you know, upper grades and high school and even on to college. And actually, you know, the parents dealing with that. We're going to dive maybe a little bit deeper in the short segment we have today, as 55 million children are projected to be enrolling in private and public schools this year. And the stress that it comes with it is a reality for millions of families. And actually, I know we're going to be jumping into something called psychological flexibility. Can you walk us through that and how it pertains to getting back to school?
Yeah, and it sounds so technical, yet it's really something that is important for parents to understand. It is a It's your ability to allow for your emotions, your thoughts, whether negative or positive, to just be what they are. And through that, sift through those feelings, the desires, what you're wanting in the moment that are not turning out the way you wanted them to be, and pursuing the most effective response to what your kids need, to their behaviors, their needs in the moment, emotionally, maybe talking to you. What this looks like is a parent, let's say you're tired, you're stressed out, you've had so many demands throughout the day. The child comes in, starts throwing things around and is really upset. You're upset as well. It's you managing your emotions and what's happening inside of you and everything that piled up, and then just being attuned and saying, hey, honey, what's going on? To help me understand what is, I'm seeing some emotions pop out in your behaviors. Tell me what's going on. And you're able to respond to what is needed in that moment. Rather than reacting and having something blow up, you're looking beyond the behavior and trying to explore what's below that. But it takes you managing you well. And that can be that can be really, really difficult, especially with many parents at the point of burnout pretty quickly into the school year.
Yeah, you know, when you say that, one of the first things that comes to mind is, you know, you're on an airplane and they're giving you the whole spiel about what to happen in an emergency. The oxygen mask comes down. Take care of yourself first, you know, and is what I hear you saying. And then address the issues that your child's going through.
Yes, that is correct. And it's being in contact with that present moment. What is actually happening in there? And what you're letting happen is letting it be what it needs to be. And then with curiosity, instead of reactiveness, going into it. And this doesn't make it a child-centric moment where you just are permissive and you want to make your child happy. That's not it. It's how can I direct my child the best in this moment? But at first, I need to address what is happening inside of me, and that takes a lot of self-awareness, but also a lot of teachability on the part of a parent, in the sense that you're open to the fact that you may not be in a good place yourself. And so for some parents, in order to get to that psychological, flexible place, you may need to have your own time out. And so some parents, what they've put in years past when I've spoken on this, they've put in timeouts for themselves to model what a timeout is for. And that is to regroup your own internal world so others are safe from you. And so what you do in that timeout as a parent, you go mark it on the refrigerator or wherever that is, and you're allowing yourself up to like 5 timeouts in a day. And you mark it, you go over to that spot, maybe you have a book or something where you can regroup. Maybe you just take like a 5-minute nap, whatever it is, you are resetting, and you know, it's your reset place. And then you're coming back. And that what they have found is then their younger kids see timeout, not as a punishment, but a place to regroup, reestablish a balance emotionally and mentally so that you can play with the kids, so that you can be in relationship with other people. And that's what a parent, sometimes we need as parents, a little time out, and then come back and say, okay, what I think is needed, what I think needs to happen right now is this. And you're bringing in a wise mind, a mind that is able to see past a behavior and look at the emotions, the thoughts, maybe the perceptions, and guide the child through those.
Yeah. You know, as I think about that, you know, I mean, we raised six kids and got a bunch of grandkids, and I, you know, I've often thought back to how, you know, my parents, did things. We're headed back to school this, you know, and it could be kind of chaotic, you know, landing into a new schedule and transitioning and some of these things you're talking about, you know, they may only be for a short time, during that transition, but the psychological flexibility, this is something that really, I mean, if we don't assist our kids well, I mean, how important is this and how much can it impact them long-term?
Yeah, long-term, it can impact them tremendously as adults, because it shows a healthy adult that my emotional world is not dependent on what your emotional world is. I'm able to be aware of where I'm at, and I'm going to manage me well so that I can show up well in the relationship I'm in. And I'm going to be able to be in conversation and see past the behavior that you're bringing to the mix. And so let's say for a child, if there's a boss that they have that is difficult to work with, their sense of satisfaction and the way they interact with work won't be dependent on that boss. They will, certainly there's an impact with that, but they're able to adjust their world and not get sucked into that world. Now, the other one is the awareness that, am I being toxic to other people? Am I being reactive? And it is common throughout the entire school year for parents to have so many demands that all they can think of is reacting to big emotions that are usually at the most inconvenient times. A child having a tantrum when you're trying to go through the grocery store as fast as you can, or at nighttime right before bed, a child that starts to cry and says, man, and they bring up everything that happened throughout the day and they could have brought it up before. Or at dinner time, two kids are going at each other, they're arguing with each other, and a parent right there in that moment may not have the room to absorb any of that. And that's, for a parent, that's the psychological flexibility saying, okay, it's happening, what am I going to do? Rather than wishing it didn't happen and reacting and pushing it away and saying, guys, stop. You're actually stopping and saying, okay, so I am needed in this moment. I don't feel like doing this, but what an opportunity in front of me to teach my kids important lessons or guide them. Or maybe if I do this now, I'm saving the future me as mom or dad more corrective moments by teaching the skill that is missing right now, or helping them communicate with each other and teaching them healthy conflict with each other as siblings. Psychological flexibility allows you to become a life teacher, a life coach. Psychological flexibility allows you to become a life teacher, a life coach to your kids as they're doing day to day. And that's what you get, whether you like it or not, you get invited into as a mom and a dad. And they need both of those. They need both of those as they're being directed.
Yeah. Man, what I'm pulling from this is, I mean, just how important it is to remember, you know, the kids are watching. You know, and yes. what we reflect is some of what they're going to, hopefully mirror. I mean, it's real easy to see, you know, kids, you know, quickly mirroring. I think of, I don't know if you've seen this, but Tiger Woods' son, you know, who's moving his way up through amateur golf. I saw side by side photos of their cadence and their swing and when I saw that, I one of the things that occurred to me was like, man, if ever you wondered if they're watching, man, they are watching, and they're gonna mimic what they get from us. So I think that's some real good insight when it comes to the issue of psychological flexibility. The question I want to leave us with, you know, we're not alone in this as parents. No. How can schools support parents as they develop that skill?
Yeah, schools can just encourage, number one, encourage parents. They have plenty of critics, and I think it goes both ways. Parents encouraging teachers, supporting teachers as they're trying to do their best with multiple students and students with a variety of different personalities and challenges, and they're tired as well. I hear over and over again from teachers the frustration of parents not supporting them and immediately aligning with their kids. That's not a healthy thing for your kids. I realize there are some exceptions to that, but generally teachers are there to help kids and guide them. And as parents, maybe entering in with, help me understand. Now with teachers, same thing. If there's certain things, certain behavior, certain things, not making assumptions of the parents, but saying, man, hey, I know you guys are trying your best. Help me understand this. And both of them requires you putting judgments aside, assumptions more than anything, and going towards understanding. And as you do that, you're modeling it for the student as well, the kid, the child, that being an adult is about taking the time to be relational. And that means I'm gonna be aware of my emotions, but I'm gonna take the time to really truly get to know the person in front of me, parents and all, and modeling that type of behavior with the kids. So a teacher at school can also practice a psychological flexibility that when kids show behaviors, it's not personal. They may be missing certain skill sets, or they may just have certain emotions that are popping and they haven't learned how to manage those. And as a teacher, you're going, oh, all right, maybe that triggered something inside of me, but that's my stuff. And it wasn't personal. Most likely this child is acting in a certain way because they're needing a certain something. And so you're going from traveling backwards from behavior to emotion and thought. What was the emotion and thought before that? And then what was the belief there? And then what was the perception or the attitude that the child came in with, and why? And so it's about giving the moment enough time to be understood. And that's for both the teachers and the parents. And a key word there in answering the question that you asked, encouraging one another as we're trying to do our best with raising kids to be healthy adults. And the most important one for Christian Homes is healthy adults that see other people, are contributors within God's kingdom, and have a thriving faith in Christ.
Well, Danny, or Dr. Danny Huert, Focused on the Family's Vice President of Parenting and Youth, has been our guest. Danny, we appreciate your time and all the work, the team at Focus on the Family, to help equip us to deal with issues just like this, and look forward to catching up with you another time.
Yeah, Steve, thanks so much for having me on the show. And one place for parents to start can be with an assessment, and that's, you can find a 7 traits of effective parenting assessment, the first one being that psychological flexibility, adaptability.
Very good. And of course, focusonthefamily.com, a great resource. And you know, just go and do a search on the site. There's so many tools available there. Again, thanks to folks like you and the rest of the team at Focus on the Family. Thanks again. And we'll look forward to having you back.
Thank you. Thank you.
And thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.